There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to the HIV podcast. Each week we focus on a person, historical event or pop culture moment linked to HIV and explore the story of what actually happened. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess. And between us, we've been working in the field of HIV for 40 years. Our aim is to get as many people as possible HIV educated.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the HIV podcast.
So a big thank you to my mother for welcoming us to the HIV podcast.
Thank you very much, Bernice.
And yeah, if you want to be featured saying welcome to the HIV podcast, just drop us a line, send us a little voice note, send them in. You can DM us, you can WhatsApp us. All the details are below this episode of all the different ways you can get involved with the HIV podcast.
Fabulous.
Today, as people will know, obviously, we've started like having guests on the podcast, which has been amazing. It's like it's so interesting. And we're so pleased that, you know, people want to come on. But there's somebody that we'd both really love to come onto the podcast. And Sarah, this is sort of like my desperate little plea, because I'm going to have to like tag them into this. I'm going to have to make it into a video. So we've tried emailing and writing to them and commenting and DMing. And it's not that they're ignoring us, I hope. It's just that I don't think they ever get through. It says that we can't DM them because they don't follow us and all of these different things where I think our communication has just got lost. It's either that or she's just like, can you two just bugger off, please? either one. So the wonderful historian, Kate Lister, I mean, you'll know who she is, obviously. She is a journalist, blogger, podcaster, historian, writer. She does so many things, so many things. But one of the things that we really love, I know, is her podcast, Betwixt the Sheets.
Yeah.
And love that. So as Betwixters ourselves, if you haven't listened, go and have a listen to it. It's brilliant. Basically, this is me. I'm going to put this on TikTok and try and tag her in it in hopes to say, Kate, we'd love to have you as a guest on our podcast. And even if you don't fancy it, just DM us and let me know. Because otherwise, yeah. I feel like I'm just going to escalate this sort of, you know, stalking behaviour.
Oh. Yeah. Yes, Kate, you can put an end to this once and for all with a simple yes or no.
Yeah. So, you know, Kate Lister, we'd love to have you come on the podcast. I'm going to have to add it in now, Sarah. We are currently nominated for an ARIA 2024 in the impact category. That's just me. I'm just selling us now, Sarah. I'm like, please come on.
Oh, I hope she gets back to you.
Well, let's see, eh?
Anyone else you'd like to...
Maybe this is how we'll get guests, Sarah. We'll start making videos and we'll just start tagging them in it and being like, everybody tag them in this video.
I'd just say, we aren't short of guests, are we? Well, we've got a whole host actually kind of scheduled or scheduled.
I'd say scheduled. Isn't scheduled American?
I don't know. But we've got a whole load booked in.
Yes, no, we do.
Who are your big asks? Who would be your dream guest apart from Kate Lister?
I've actually contacted Lord Fowler.
Oh,
I'm going big, baby. I'm going big. I would love to talk to him. You know, that was one of my favourite episodes we've ever done, still to this day, was the episode all around the Don't Die of Ignorance campaign. So how amazing would it be for him to come on and have a conversation with us about that?
That would be epic, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. I'd quite like Elton John.
Oh.
JVN, I'd love. Who wouldn't?
Well, yeah. Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh my God, JVN. Please come on the HIV podcast. Right. This whole episode has turned into me basically, it's just a hit list of,
Well, I'm
people
saying
I'd
it's
like
a
to come
hit
on.
list of people that we want, and it's a bit.
Yeah. Billy Porter, amazing.
And we've not done an episode on them.
But I don't want, yeah, as Sarah said, we do have lots of guests. But to be honest, this was the only other way I could think of trying to get hold of Kate Lister. I think it's clever. I'm being innovative.
Be so good. But anyway, let's move on
Yeah.
before we think of anybody else. By the way, you haven't asked me who I'd like to have on the podcast. Just so rude.
I feel like we just force our opinions upon each other. There's no need for asking anymore. Just to battle your way in. Who would you want?
Holly Johnson,
Nice. Who else?
Jimmy Somerville. Oh, Andy Bell from Erasure. Come on. I'm just wanting to recreate the whole of the 80s. To say if we could find a link to the A team, let's get old BA Baracus,
Is he
Mr.
still
T.
alive?
Yes, he's still
Is Mr.
alive.
T
And
still
Face. Face is still alive. It's not actually his real name. Annie Lennox. Yes. So anyone else? Alicia Keys. Oh, mine's all pop music.
I'd quite like to talk to Russell Tovey because he did,
Oh, yeah.
the whole American Horror Story, and that was sort of all around really HIV and things. That would be interesting. Again, this has turned into you and me listing things we'd like and want.
Yeah, like a little dream list for us.
Yeah.
Yes, Russell T Davies, who wouldn't want to speak to him, although I don't think I could just stick to It's a Sin. It would veer off into Doctor Who and all kinds of things.
Oh, but he did Queer as Folk, though, didn't he? And
Yeah.
Banana, Cucumber, they were amazing.
Yeah.
Right, we need to ask him. Jill Nalder, how could we forget Be More Jill?
So this whole episode is just our wish list now, is it? What an interesting listen.
God, no. I'm so sorry, everyone. Right, Sarah, tell me what we are
Yes.
doing today.
I'm continuing our sporting theme. This is
Okay.
going to run and run, I tell you.
This is the rest of the year. This is it.
Could well be interspersed with really amazing guests.
Yes.
So we are looking this week at HIV and boxing.
That's actually quite interesting because obviously it's a real contact sport, isn't it? So there have to be some regulations at some point, I would imagine.
Yes, they do actually. We're going to look at one boxer in particular, but we're going to start with a question that was posed by Lloyd Russell Moyle, who is the Labour MP for Brighton.
Okay, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought we were doing boxing. I feel like this is just quite a departure.
It's a question he posed to the Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport, asking whether her department is taking steps to allow people living with HIV to compete in boxing professionally. It's one of
So,
the only sports where you can't.
you're currently not allowed, if you're positive, to compete in professional boxing?
They
What?
have to have an HIV test.
I did not imagine that is what you were about to say.
Well, they replied, the Department for Culture, Media and Sport, and said national governing bodies are responsible for the regulation of their sports and are independent of the government, but we'll continue to engage with boxing authorities to discuss a range of issues relating to participation in sport, including participation by people living with HIV. Cop out, innit?
Is a bit wishy-washy.
I know. So first of all, we are going to look at HIV and boxing in the UK because they just don't go hand in hand. So you need a medical, including an HIV test, prior to boxing if you want to compete professionally.
But can you compete sort of at an amateur level?
I think you're also tested if you're doing amateur competitions, but that information is not very easy to find out.
Right, okay.
And conflicting information when I looked into this. So that's to set the scene here, but we're actually going to look at somebody from America in a bit more depth. And his name was Tommy Morrison. He was an American professional boxer and mixed martial artist.
Yeah, like mixed martial arts. It's quite big, isn't it? You know, where they're in that big round
Like
ring.
the cage,
Yeah, it's like that, isn't it?
like Monica's boyfriend in Friends, that
Well,
cage fighting thing.
kind of. He was doing everything. So some of what he was doing was mixed martial arts, wasn't it? But that was like a bit of everything. But yes, it's.
Oh, well, he started competing in 1998 and he retired in 2009. He won the WBO heavyweight title in 1993, beating George Foreman.
Oh, we all know George Foreman. Can I just point out how bonkers is it that he's a boxer, but also a grill maker?
I think he's more known for the George Foreman grill.
100%. Yeah, massively. Like, how weird is that? I wonder how that came about.
I
Anyway.
don't know. But I mean, he was a really good boxer as well,
Yeah.
wasn't he? But yes, it is the same person behind the George Foreman grill. It just sounds ridiculous. Okay, so Tommy's nickname was the Duke, based on the claim that he was the grandnephew
What would your
or
boxing nickname be?
I can't ever see myself boxing, to be honest.
Oh, you'd be like, I mean, I'd obviously be the Kraken. I feel like you'd be Sarah the Windmill McAdam, and you could come out with like windmill arms like this.
It's really not for me.
Oh, I love boxing.
Oh no, it's not. I know there's kind of is an art to it, a skill to it, but it's not for me. Even martial arts is a step too far, if I'm
Oh, I don't
honest.
like martial arts. That's too disciplined. But I like watching and participating in boxing.
How do you participate in? Oh, you actually like
Yeah, like, you know, like,
exercising.
yes. But when you do
Oh,
it,
I
like,
thought you were
with
about to
hands.
announce you're some sort of amateur boxer, and I was like,
And in the
oh.
blue corner, it's Jessica, the Kraken Harding. No.
Oh. Okay, no, I'm not. I haven't even thought what my name would be. It's just not for me.
Okay, fair
I
enough.
think the Duke's quite a good name, though. It
Yeah,
sounds a
but
bit regal, doesn't it?
you can't take someone else's nickname, though.
Well, he had that nickname based on the fact that he was a distant relative of John Wayne, Hollywood star slash cowboy. It's not. He wasn't a real cowboy, was he? He
No.
was an actor.
Yeah.
So Tommy had very supportive parents. When he was 13 year old, 30. When he was 13 years old, his mum used a fake ID and entered him into 15 tough man contests. So the minimum age for that was 21.
I'm sorry, he was how old?
30.
Fuck off. That's ridiculous. But I mean, you're saying his mum's like quite full. Are we saying is that bordering on possible child abuse? Here you go, son, toughen you up, shove you into a what's it called, a tough man contest?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, what did that involve?
I haven't looked into it, but I think it's one of, well, I suppose it does what it says on the tin, doesn't it? It's proving who the toughest man is
I
through
know,
a
but he's
range of
well, I
events.
was going to say, I can imagine it's one of them like chugging a pint of beer. Who can do it the fastest? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I bet it's like those kind of strongman contests.
I'm having a look. Okay, toughest man contest, yeah? Because
Tough
this
man,
is,
yeah.
oh, tough man contest. Oh, it's boxing. Yeah, oh, so it's just boxing, basically. So the tough man.
What, so as a 13-year-old, he would be boxing 21-year-olds.
Jesus Christ. Christ. It's
Oh, I
just
can't.
insanity.
My son's 13. I can't imagine putting him in for anything like this.
Yeah, it says that it's the most common format is the use of amateur boxing rules. So basically, that's just what it's around.
Well, he was 13 and he told the New York Times that he only lost one of those matches. So it's pretty good.
Okay, so she entered him because she knew he was talented, not just to be like, it's a bit like that song, isn't it? A Boy Named Sue, where, you know, like the Johnny Cash song where he named his son Sue to toughen him up. Can you imagine that? I'm going to toughen you up, son. Off you go into the tough man contest. No, wasn't that. It was just that he was talented.
Yes, and he was talented. As an amateur boxer, he claimed 222 fights, most of which were local kind of fights, with the 1988 Olympic trials being the top of his amateur career.
Oh, wow.
And no, in total, he had 202 wins and 20 losses in his amateur career. So that's,
Amazing.
yes. So it's no surprise that he becomes a professional boxer. That started in November 1988, and by the end of the next year, he had 19 wins, 15 by knockout, and no losses. So the rest must have been draws.
What a punch he must have had.
Yeah. Then he took a break because not only good at boxing, but he also likes acting. And he appeared. Which film did he appear in?
I don't know. What's his name? Oh, wait, did he appear in Rocky?
Yes,
Did
Rocky
he?
V. Oh, hold on, it's V5.
Yes, Sarah.
Yes. Yeah, appeared in Rocky Five.
Oh, so what was he? Just like one of the fighters in it?
Yes, but it took 6 months to film. I have not watched any Rocky film apart from the first one, so I couldn't tell you how big his part was.
I haven't even watched the first one.
Oh.
I know. I feel a bit ashamed of myself. Ben's continually horrified. He's starting to try and make me watch films that I haven't seen. So we watched Roadhouse the other day, the original, because I hadn't seen that. So maybe Rocky will be next.
Do you know what? I should get my son to watch it, actually. We went to the Natural History Museum the other day, and you know they've got their stairs going up to the entrance. And I was like, come on, let's go up there. Da 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 da. And he's just like, well, what are you doing? And I was like, young people today. Anyway, after he'd appeared in Rocky Five, he has four boxing bouts in 1990, including against Mike Tyson. And then in 1991, a big fight because his opponent was also an undefeated up-and-coming heavyweight called Ray Mercer.
So he's a heavyweight boxer.
He's a
That's the
heavyweight. He's a
right.
big, So he fights Ray Mercer and he loses. It's the first loss of his career. Doesn't stop him though. 1992, six wins, one of which he only realized afterwards that he had a broken hand and a broken jaw, and he still won.
Brutal, isn't it?
It is brutal. Then he fights George Foreman and he wins that. That's for the heavyweight title. He then goes on to defend his title and retains it. And then his next big fight is Lennox Lewis. I've heard of Lennox Lewis. So that was the next big fight that was set up. But before that fight, he had a fight with a virtually unknown boxer called Michael Bent. Fight didn't go to plan. Tommy was knocked down three times in the first 97 seconds and the fight stopped. Bent is declared the winner, and that fight cost him the opportunity to fight Lennox Lewis.
Wow, and I mean that must have been quite early on in Lennox Lewis's career.
Yeah, I
But
know.
three times in 97 seconds.
Oh, no.
Maybe that person's nickname was the windmill, just came at him all guns blazing.
And a virtually unknown boxer as well. It's
Wow.
just crazy, isn't it? And he carries on boxing after that, but to be honest, it's a bit hit and miss, if you'll excuse the pun. So he wins some, he loses some, but he doesn't regain the form of his early career. I mean, he's still good.
Yeah.
He's kind of on a par with Evander Holyfield. Heard of him through friends.
Yes.
And he's very much able to command the boxing ring, defending titles. I mean, he is still up there amongst the very best in the world, but I wouldn't say he was the best
Right.
at that point. And then, February 1996, hours before a boxing match with Arthur Weathers, not heard of him,
No, I haven't.
the Nevada Athletic Commission said that Tommy had tested positive for HIV and they suspended him from boxing in Nevada. Several days later, his doctor confirmed the news. A press conference followed on the 15th of February, where Tommy said he contracted HIV from his permissive, fast, and reckless lifestyle and that he would absolutely never fight again. Life-changing, career-changing, all in one go, isn't it?
Yeah.
So later that year in September, he holds another press conference where he says, actually, I do want to fight one last time, but he needs to find an opponent, and he wants the proceeds from the fight to go to the Knockout AIDS Foundation, which is a foundation that he set up. The press conference is in Oklahoma, and the Oklahoma Professional Boxing Advisory Board are very quick to confirm that he won't be allowed to do it within their
Right.
state
Okay.
because of the Nevada suspension.
Okay.
So George Foreman comes to the rescue. Because he's lovely
Yeah.
and invites him to fight in Japan. So the fight night is headlined by George, and Tommy is invited to fight on the undercard, so a lesser fight than the headline act.
Right.
And HIV is not banned in boxing in Japan at that time. I don't know whether it is now. So the fight can go ahead. But the Japanese authorities rule that if Tommy cuts himself, then the fight will be stopped. Yeah, and we don't know, whether he's undetectable, whether he's taking medications. There's very sensible precautions. He fought someone called Marcus Rhodes, and he won less than 2 minutes into the first round.
Amazing.
Oh, so that kind of spurs him on. He wants a comeback now. He wants to restart his career. And being HIV positive obviously means that he cannot do that in America or in most countries around the world
Yeah.
until 2007, when he tested negative for HIV several times.
What?
I
This is very confusing.
So we're what, 10 years later, are we?
So, but not just once, several times.
Several times. He tests negatively for HIV. So he passed a medical in Texas, regained his license, and was able to fight in the state of West Virginia. A fight's organized, and he beats his opponent in round two. So now his career's back on track, and he apparently isn't HIV positive anymore. Right, so the next year he fights and wins again, this time in Mexico. So everything's kind of back on track.
But so, can I just, so now it's just like that he's just not positive and everyone's just moved on. I'm okay, right, okay. This is bizarre.
And then in January 2011, the Boxing Commission in Quebec asked him to take a supervised HIV test because he's planning to fight there. Tommy agrees a date with them, but the commission don't show up. So the test is never supervised. And that August, he then announces his retirement.
So all of the other tests were not supervised. So what is it, just him supplying the information, or do we not really know? It's a bit.
Well, that's what we're going to look at next. What was going on? Was he positive? Was he not? So Tommy says the original HIV tests gave false positives. So the ones he had done in Nevada were incorrect. The Nevada Medical Board dispute this. Tommy says he asked for a copy of the test results, which he never received, so he doubts it even exists. The medical board said, all you had to do was contact the lab that processed the test, and they'd have given you proof of it. So he tested negative four times in 2007, and that the New York Times said that one of those times he tested specifically, it's a hard word to say, so I'll say it again, specifically for them. So they're backing up his claim that he's negative.
Oh wow, but why? But I'm so, I have so many thoughts. I have so many thoughts. I can't quite get them all together. It obviously would be difficult to have two false positives sort of in a row. Like to have a false positive, the chances of that are, as we know, extremely low. I am not saying there is no chance that people don't get false positives. We know that can happen. But to have sort of two in a row would be, a ridiculous sort of number of odds in having that. But then if the New York Times are saying that he's negative, then, obviously they've witnessed that. But then why wouldn't Tommy look into it further when they said he was positive and think, actually, do you know what? I'm going to, either look at the results if I want it. There are so many questions.
There really are. I mean, Nevada's chief ringside doctor implies the negative results that these tests are producing are not actually based on Tommy's blood.
Oh, but surely the New York Times, they are a reputable body, aren't they? Who aren't just going to, without doing proper research, just be saying things willy-nilly. So I find that quite hard to believe.
Just really weird, isn't it? Like what the roller coaster of stuff is going on here.
Yeah, definitely. But I also think it's just very confusing. There are lots of questions for everybody involved in this.
There are. So if we move forward, because we were what, 2007 when the New York Times backed up what he said that he was negative. So we're now in August 2013. His mum announces that Tommy has full-blown AIDS and has been bedridden for over a year, and that he's now in his final days. His wife, on the other hand, says that's not the case. She doesn't believe that he has AIDS.
What? This is so confusing.
And then on the 1st of September 2013, he passes away at the age of 44 at the Nebraska Medical Center. Now, according to their Department of Health and Human Services, his cause of death was cardiac arrest resulting from multi-organ failure due to septic shock, which was caused by an infection. And it's actually an infection. I'm not even going to begin to try and pronounce it, but it's an infection that lives in the environment and can be spread to people in healthcare settings when they're exposed to water or soil that is contaminated with these germs. The
Right.
reason I'm telling you this is because that is a very detailed explanation for someone's death, and nowhere does it mention anything HIV related.
So we never know.
So the family don't ever disclose what the cause of death is, and his wife continues to deny that he had HIV.
Okay.
But his promoter and friend, Tony Holden, has spoken in interviews, and he said Tommy's a very stubborn person. and he views things the way he wants to view things. That's his right and his privilege. And he's talking about the HIV diagnosis.
Right.
He said Tommy took off after he was told that he was HIV positive. When he was first told, Tony was taking him to seek treatment and to see different doctors around the country. So he, right from the start, I would say he's not absolutely convinced that he's got HIV.
Right.
Then Tommy started research on the internet, and that's when he started to think that all of this was a conspiracy. And once he'd started off in that direction, he never looked back.
But the confusing thing about that, though, is that if we look at it, how he wanted it to be looked at, like it's a conspiracy, then it wouldn't be about testing negative or positive, would it? Do you see what I'm saying? It would, because in theory, if you thought HIV was all a conspiracy, then, you know, by that logic, testing positive would be non-existent as well. Because, do you know what I mean? It would be like a moot point because it would be a conspiracy in his views. So it seems quite odd.
Yes. Or did he think, or did he mean that he thought it was a conspiracy against him because he was such a successful boxer?
Right. So it's not that it was HIV's a conspiracy. It's, yes.
I don't know, because other than Tony, there's no other information about this. The family, well, the mum's against the family anyway, so you've got two conflicting reports there. And then you've got him saying, well, he thought it was a conspiracy. And so that was it. He just didn't believe that he, either he didn't believe that he had it, well, he did, definitely didn't believe that he had it. But it's, in what way didn't he believe? Like you say, was it that he didn't believe HIV existed, in which case why on earth would you bother testing, because the test is going to prove nothing? Or do you think somebody's out to get you, and because you're so successful and this is the way to do it, because if you test positive you can't box in America?
I mean, this is bonkers. I mean, as in the whole thing, not just this part specifically, so I'm not being like judgy in that way, just the whole story of the back and forth, and then the family saying, oh no, you know, his mommy's got AIDS, his wife, no he hasn't. I'm sort of speechless.
Well, do you know what, because drawing a conclusion from this, the simple answer is that we can't really, because the only people that could answer it properly are him and perhaps his wife. She's never going to go against him. So I think, you know, let's let everyone make up their own minds on this one. Did the original tests provide false positives? Was he right in thinking this was a conspiracy, perhaps linked to his successful career? Or was he actually in denial, and that denial cost him his life?
God, they're big questions, aren't they?
They are big questions. And the only thing we know for certain is he truly was a great boxer.
Yeah, yeah. That's not where I thought this was going to go, Sarah. I thought it was going to be like a Rudy Galdino. I thought it was going to be like a Lou Gannis story, a bit of Greg stuff. No, it's not, is it? It's not. It's not what this was.
No, 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 no. This was totally different and not what I expected when I looked at boxing, because I am trying to cover a full range of sports, as you know. But this one came out of the blue, really. I was like, oh, gosh.
It's just crazy. So just to clarify, because obviously some people might listen to this and go, oh, I thought you were going to tell us like all the rules in the UK. So do we have there? Has there been, just to recap a bit, any movement forward on whether people in the UK that are positive can box at a professional level? Even though we've got, you know, U equals U, and you know, people can't pass HIV on if they're undetectable. Have we moved forward? Are positive people able to box at a professional level in the UK?
I don't think we have moved forward. If anyone's listening who's involved in that profession and wants to set us straight, or wants to come on and have a chat about how boxing views HIV, and like you say, whether they take into account being undetectable, brilliant. Yeah. Because that would be really helpful. Because I'm of the opinion that this is one of the few sports where it's still not acceptable to have HIV, even if you're undetectable.
Really?
But I only base that on the fact that if you go on and look through all the guidelines, it's just not that clear. And I always think, well, if it's not clear and you're not, you know, then it's probably likely that you don't. The fact that this MP asked this question on the 1st of March 2024 would suggest to me that unless in the last 6 weeks they have completely sorted this out, that it is, yes, yeah, still the case.
Well, I hope they are going to sort it out. And well done, that MP. Okay, so but we still have more sport to go, don't we? We've got one more, is that
No,
correct?
we've got two more. I'm
Two
just
more.
going to keep adding to them in the build up to the Olympics.
But I think it's good, you know, loads of people are into sport. I want one about golf. I mean, I don't like golf, but I just think a lot of people play golf.
Oh, I'm also, I want to look at horse racing. Do you know
Horse
what this is
racing.
based on? Do you know what this is based on? Oh, right. So it was the Grand National at the weekend, and I picked the winner.
Did
So therefore,
you?
I've obviously got a natural aptitude for anything to do with horse racing.
Well
Yes.
done. And what did you win? Did you put a little bet on?
Do you know I did 50p each way?
Perfect. We're not here to encourage heavy betting, are we, at all? So 50p either way sounds perfect.
I got about 4 quid. It was the favourite anyway, but I didn't know that when I picked it.
Well
So,
done, you.
oh yes, what other posh sports? Croquet,
Polo.
polo, and
Rowing.
croquet. Oh,
And what else is a fancy sport? Horrible.
fencing.
Oh, fencing is a posh sport, isn't it? Yeah.
Lacrosse.
Oh,
It's more
is
of an
it?
Irish thing, isn't it? No, it's called something else over there.
Yes, yeah, but it's they play that a lot in America, don't they, lacrosse?
Day.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a British thing. Cricket.
Okay. Now this is just us listing other podcast episodes.
Well, it is, yeah. Again, the ending of this isn't very interesting for anyone either. And we should say that if you've got to the end of this and you've been hearing some background noise, it is because I am at the drop-in today and it is heaving.
Yes, so Sarah is very busy. She's giving me a tiny bit of her time to do this, which I'm very grateful for. But yes, we can't tell people not to be in the drop-in because that's literally what the drop-in's for. So you've just got to deal with the little muffly noises and, you know,
I know.
and just know that you're sort of part of it. It's like all our listeners are sort of there within the drop-in with you, Sarah.
Oh, I should have just gone out. Will you all just pipe down?
Silence. No
Yes.
enjoying yourselves.
Absolutely not. No chatting to any of the staff until we have finished. They've got a whole garden they can go into. I mean, it's raining, but you know.
Yeah, don't, I can imagine you shoving everyone outside. Just outside for half an hour. Off you go. But anyway, well, this has been brilliant. And I'm very much, I mean, so this, I'm really excited actually about next week's episode as well, because we've got a fantastic guest coming on. I'm not going to ruin it by saying who it is, but make sure you tune in. And obviously, we are hurtling ever closer towards the Arias. No, I keep mentioning it. So you keep telling me not to. I don't care. I'm just going to keep mentioning it. And we're going to do a whole little special episode where we try and take you with us along to the Arias. So, you know, make sure you're following along on our socials for that one.
Oh my God, that's not, is that going to be an actual podcast episode? Right, it will just be me moaning
Yes. And me
about.
constantly going, oh, wait, let me just get a picture. Wait.
Thanks for listening to the HIV podcast. If you enjoyed our podcast, please like, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You can now also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the HIV Podcast for behind the scenes insights and video. The HIV Podcast is produced by Thames Valley Positive Support.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.